Hare Krishna. So Krishna is describing the glories of the transcendental knowledge. Basically, what are the results of getting transcendental knowledge? So let's see one more from shloka number 37.
Yathai dhamsi sam siddhogner bhasmasat kurute arjuna Jnanagnihi sarva karmani bhasmasat kurute tatha.
So here Krishna is saying that yatha, as samsiddha agnir, as the blazing fire,
edhamsi bhasmasat kurute arjuna, O Arjuna,
as the blazing fire samsiddha agnir, Edhamsi means the firewood. Firewood bhasmasat kurute. As the fire turns the firewood into ashes, similarly, tatha, jnana agni, the fire of knowledge, jnana agni, sarva karmani bhasmasat kurute. So now he is saying, jnana agni, sarva karmani bhasmasat kurute. So the fire of knowledge, what is the fire of knowledge doing? The fire of knowledge is burning all the reactions into ashes. A very nice verse to discuss, a very nice verse to understand. This verse basically tells us the glories of transcendental knowledge, the glories of bhakti. So here it is said that perfect knowledge, now suppose someone asks that what is this knowledge are we talking about? Fire of knowledge, that's what is given here, jnana agni. So what is this fire of knowledge all about? So when it comes to jnana yoga, fire of knowledge or just knowledge, it basically means the knowledge of self and the knowledge of super self, that is Paramatma, Atma and Paramatma. That is the basic knowledge when it comes to jnana yoga. But then when it comes to bhakti, there is something added there. So one is the knowledge of Atma, another is knowledge of Paramatma, and the knowledge of the relationship between the Atma and Paramatma. So what is basically the knowledge in bhakti? Knowledge in bhakti is, who am I? Who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What is my relationship with Supreme Personality of Godhead? So bhakti means devotional service. It's not just devotion, it's devotional service. So as soon as we understand, oh, okay, I am Atma and I'm part and parcel of Lord Sri Krishna. So when I'm part and parcel of Krishna, then what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to serve Him. So as soon as this realization comes, as soon as this knowledge comes, the person starts serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's what is told here, that the perfect knowledge of self and super self and of the relationship is compared here into fire. Now this fire is a very, very special fire. This fire will help the person to get liberated from the cycle of birth and death. The goal of human life is to break the cycle of birth and death. There is no other goal apart from this. But then, from time immemorial, we have been doing so many activities, and every activity is giving rise to reaction. In our previous verses, we have discussed that how, now when we do pious activity, now we get good credits, pious credits. When we do sinful activity, we get sinful credits, that is punya and papa. And we have to take another birth to enjoy the punya that we have and to suffer for the papa that we have done. So in this way, the person has to take birth again. But now the question is, if the person has to get liberated, then what is that person supposed to do? So basically it goes on to say that punya and papa should be zero. Then only the person will be able to get liberated. The person will be able to break the cycle of birth and death. So how to make it zero? Because every day our activities which are there will give rise to some or the other reaction. So here it is very nicely given that this fire not only burns up all reactions to impious activities, but also all reactions to pious activities, turning them to ashes. So this fire of knowledge actually burns everything. Both impious and pious credits or pious reactions which are waiting in stock. Now the reactions will manifest in various ways. There are basically four categories of reactions. So, for example, a person has committed a sinful activity in the past life. Now when that is done, so there will be sinful reactions to the same. So those sinful reactions are stored, say, in the karma bank. Let's call it as a karma bank. So it is stored in the karma bank. Now, the amount is not yet withdrawn. So it is just stored. So it is called as unmanifested reaction. It is just stored. You know, there is no reaction to it. It is just there. So like when the person says, I have a bank balance, it means it is there somewhere. It is not withdrawn. But then, that aprarabdha, this is called as aprarabdha, aprarabdha karma. So it's aprarabdha reaction which is there, it manifests, some of it will manifest, that is called as prarabdha karma. Now when the person withdraws some money from the bank, so he has some cash with him. So now some cash is there with him and some is stored still, or some is still there in the account, in the bank. So what is happening here? The thing that is withdrawn, that will be called as prarabdha karma, that which is manifested reaction. Like for example, one's life, what are the prarabdha karma? Birth, death, and in between, we have various junctions in life. Like for example, how much money the person is going to earn, how many grains the person is going to eat, who will be the spouse, what sort of kids will be born, how many breaths the person will take. All these, will be fixed, in the person's life. Not everything is fixed in life. Only junctions in life are fixed where the person is supposed to take a call. So, prarabdha karma will decide the situation in which the person will be put. But obviously, there will be many options which the person has to choose, which will give rise to next cycle of karma. So, many times people ask that everything in life is fixed. No, if everything in life is fixed, then the person is like a robot. He's a proper robot then. Then where is the question of next cycle of karma? So it's very logical to understand the situation is created by the prarabdha karma and the choice the person is given and he has to choose. And when he chooses, accordingly next cycle of karma will begin. So this is prarabdha karma. Those things which are already decided, predestined, this is what we can say. So aprarabdha karma led to prarabdha karma. But still there is some store, right? Still there is a balance that is stored. So what about that? So that is there as kutam and bijam. Let's try to understand this concept. Kutam basically means a tendency to commit sin. The tendency is already there to commit. Like in the previous life, maybe the person was a drunkard, say. Now, it's so used to that sin is already there within. And as soon as the person sees, in the next life, and the person sees many people drinking alcohol, naturally, the tendency which is there, that will get awakened. So, the tendency is already there to drink alcohol. That is already there. And along with that, when he sees in front of him, people are drinking alcohol, what will happen? A desire will come. The tendency will be converted into a desire. And the desire will say, oh, I want to drink. I want to check how it tastes. I want to see what it is. Similar, same thing will apply for the lusty desires. So in the past life, the person might be very, very lusty. He might have got into very much into illicit sexual activity. And in this life, right from childhood, there will be a tendency towards such sensual activities. And as soon as there's a little bit of maturity, the person will start getting desire. The person will start getting desire for what? To get involved into such illicit sexual activity. So this is kutam and bijam. Kutam means a tendency to sin, which is already there because of the past karma, and the desire to sin, that will manifest, that is called as bija. And obviously when desire comes, when it becomes very strong, the person will actually do the activity. Again, he'll commit a sin. So in this way, there are four different reactions that we just saw. Aprarabdha, that is unmanifested reaction stored in the bank. Then whatever we withdraw, that is prarabdha karma. That basically means those which are predestined in this particular life. And then, there is something called as kutam. Kutam means a tendency to sin that is there within. And that gets transformed into bijam. And that is desire to commit sin. So now, there is a very, very wonderful point that is made here. When a person acquires transcendental knowledge, what happens? Here it is given. Reaction in the making, reaction fructifying, reaction already achieved, and reaction a priori. All of this, what happens? The knowledge of constitutional position of the living entity burns everything to ashes. Look at the glory of bhakti. As soon as someone starts practicing devotional service, all these things that we just spoke, aprarabdha karma, kutam, bijam, all of that is burnt to ashes. In this way, the person is not bound now. Because all these reactions will bind the person. But now, since all this is burnt by the practice of bhakti, by the transcendental knowledge that is acquired by practicing bhakti, that person is freed. And if he continues doing the same, what happens? He becomes eligible to break the cycle of birth and death. So understanding this, all the intelligent people of this world should take up to bhakti. And the main process in the age of Kali Yuga that is given as the main anga of bhakti is Shravanam and Kirtanam, that is chanting of the holy names of Lord Shri Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When we are chanting this very, very attentively, without our notice, all these different reactions which are there in store, all of that is getting burnt. This is the glory. Understanding this, one has to take it very, very seriously. So this is what Krishna is saying. He'll continue the same theme now, and he's going to give one more glory or one more result of acquiring transcendental knowledge. So let's see that in the next video. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.